If you can kneel with me, please do so. Our God and Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us evidence every day that you are in control of all the heavens, all the earth and all nations, and even life at sea. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from the danger of the sins and the wrong decisions of ourselves, our families, and of those who are leading us in this country and those who are leading in the world. Thank you for saving us from the severe consequences of sin and sinners. And thank you for saving us from the snares of Satan, that he may not capitalize in our weaknesses to harm us or harm our loved ones in any way. Thank you for the gift and power of prayer. Lord, I pray that you deliver us from the inside out for those who are sick, spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, emotionally, academically, financially, politically, and legally. We pray that your Holy Spirit convict the world of sin and its suffering and consequences, and then convict them of your righteousness and your healing power of love. May all those of us and those in the world who call upon the name of Jesus be delivered from sin and the suffering thereof. I pray for all of those who are physically challenged and sick. We pray for Esther's father, for my mom, for Janet, for Dane, for all of those in nursing homes, for Mimi, for all of those whom we know and those whom we don't know. May your Holy Spirit move so mightily upon every part of their bodies and ours to heal from the inside out. May you restore unto them and unto us the strength and the joy that come through faith and trust in your name as Creator, Savior, Physician, and Healer, a God of life and blessing, our advocate and defender against the adversary. Become sight in our lives. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart bring forth words of encouragement, words of life, words of comfort, words of power that help us walk and run the race until the end, looking unto Jesus alone, the author and the finisher of our life and faith. And may you grant us the fruits of the Spirit within as we exercise every gift for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We have been discussing the gift of love and the torment of fear and how they work together or against each other. So let me ask you a question first. What are the things on this earth that really prompts our fear?
Gun shooting.
Okay, so fear for your
life.
Health and well-being for your life.
Safety.
Yeah. Safety. Of course, when you feel vulnerable, when you feel that your body is under attack, whether it is by disease or whether by another human being or by some kind of explosion, you fear. What other fears, what other things on this earth prompt your fear?
That something will happen to my family.
That something is going to happen to your family. Again, physical fear. How about financial fears?
Yeah.
That you would lose your source of income and you will not be able to provide for your needs and the needs of your family, and then the life that you are having right now may not be there. This is a fear everyone lives by. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
That you will not have the financial resources to take care of your needs and wants, and therefore you are afraid to suffer. What other fears are present in this earth?
Love.
Okay. Fears of failing, ailing relationships. Isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm.
We fear that the love that we have or the love that motivates us in all relationship will somehow be stumbled and somehow will fail us and we will suffer the consequences of that. Any other fears?
Abandonment.
Very good. The fear of abandonment. You know that you will be abandoned by someone whom you love or trust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And abandonment can come in life and can come in death. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
You can be abandoned in life and you can lose your loved ones whom you love and really dependent upon. B?
Shelter.
Okay, that's security. You know, you feel that unless you are safe and secure, you are exposed to great many danger. So danger and uncertainty and fear of suffering, all of these exist and will continue to exist. Eric?
Change.
Fear of change. That's a very good one. That's a very good one. You know, there are about 20 to 30 causes of distress. And on the top is fear of change. You know, whether you are getting married, you're entering a new relationship, you are leaving an employment to another, or perhaps moving from one neighborhood to another, that's a major change, and there's lots of uncertainties, right? Lots of worries and lots of fears about what if, what am I going to face? That's a very good point, because change is present every day. You don't have to make a major decision to experience change. Change can creep on you at any time, even a change in your own life, a change on the road you travel every day, a change in the very environment you work in and you live in every day, a change, or for instance, in our homeowner association rules. Things can happen every day to change the life we know today. Did I see another hand, Val?
Struggling with the overcoming and overwhelming fears of this world, that I would struggle spiritually in handling them appropriately, lacking faith.
Mm-hmm. Fear of wrong decisions based on lack of faith. What will that decision lead me to? If I made a decision I know is not a good decision, definitely I have reasons to fear. How am I going to handle that? Eric. Or Sandra, sorry.
Fear of rejection.
Okay. Fair thing. Fear of rejection. And fear of rejection come in many different forms. You could be rejected at work. Say, sorry, we're going to terminate your job. Okay. Or we don't approve of what you're doing. Okay. Or just in relationships. You know. Or in friendship. You don't live up to the expectation of somebody and somebody decide to reject you. Fear exists every day. Last?
Fear of being imperfect and weaknesses.
Okay, perfect?
Imperfect and weak.
All right. Fear of being imperfect and weak. That has a lot to do with our personality and our habits, mm-hmm. right? Because being imperfect is being weak. Being weak and imperfect, you are not going to live up to the standards of others. Therefore, you might be rejected. Mm-hmm. Or you will not be loved as much. Isn't that a messed up life that we're living in?
Mm-hmm. I have one, another one.
Very quickly, this is going to be the last one. Go ahead.
Money mismanaged.
Yes. Money mismanaged, or the absence of money, can put us in lots of financial trouble. Now, fear exists. Is fear something good, or is something really horrible and bad?
It can be good sometimes.
Okay. B is saying fear can be something good sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? Yes, that's true.
I was watching the news yesterday, fear of tomorrow and the unknown. I was really surprised at what's going on in my country. I thought Christian is the only one who's afraid if the extremist brotherhood took over. But I was really shocked that the normal Muslim were terrified more than us
right.
of the unknown if that happened. You know?
See? Yeah, fear of politics. Very serious. Very serious, because it renders us helpless. We are not making decisions, right? It renders us powerless against the forces of destruction. That there are forces that seem to be talking big and violent and determined to take control by force. That will exert fear in me. Wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you? You know, here in this state, in Sacramento, the government is making decisions for you and me. And some of those decisions are not biblically founded. It's against the word of God. That can bring about hosts of troubles. How are you going to handle those fears? Fear is very healthy and very positive. And fear is very negative and tormenting. It depends.
Absolutely.
In what fear motivates us and how we respond to it. Okay? God has given us the gift of fear. Otherwise, the Bible will not ask us to fear God. Fear God and the fear of God is very different. the fear of God is embedded completely in the security of God's perfect love and rulership over our lives. That's a healthy fear. And we're going to talk more about that today. So, we live on this earth. The other fear has torment. And there is two different outcomes to both fears. So, let us read in the Bible and you will see this. You will see the roots of all fears. And after I show you clearly the roots of all fear and how torment happens because of fear, I will also show you the way out of fear. Even as struggling sinners, even if you are struggling with all of this mental, physical, spiritual, social, emotional, financial, political decision, how can we overcome fear through the love of God? So let us pay attention to the work of the Holy Spirit and let's open the Bible to the origin of fear in Genesis chapter 3. And let us read that together again. I began last week and I showed you some very important points in this chapter. The story of Adam and Eve could have been written differently even after the sin if they responded differently. And our fears are minimized or maximized by how we respond to our own errors and the errors of others. Is that correct? You know, in all the things that you have expressed, it is because of decisions made. We make those decisions to create the fears, or our family make them to create all of the fears, or our government official make them to create all of that fears. Is that true? Yes. So the question is, this is happening, this happened, this will continue to happen today and tomorrow, and we have all the reasons to fear. But we also have the power into how to manage those fears. So let us read the origin of fear. Now the serpent was more subtle than many beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You know, that was the initial lie. Look at how he asked the question. Satan, through the serpent, knew very well what God told Eve. But he wanted to draw her into conversation to begin the process of deception. Look how he asked her. He didn't ask her, did God tell you not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He didn't ask her that. Because she would have been alerted and alarmed and she would have answered differently. She would have inquired. But he asked her what? He got her into conversation, like many people who do not believe in Jesus in this world are deceiving many Christians by engaging in conversation that appears to be innocent at the beginning, but full of poison. Full of poison. And so he asked her the question that she can respond to. Did he say not to eat of any of the trees in the garden? And look how she answered. She fell into the trap and she began to communicate with the enemy. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. He said, no, we can eat of all of the fruits of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The devil got her there. Notice her answer. Her answer is, I am also tempted to go along with you, because that's not what God told Eve. Is that what God told Eve? The Lord did not tell Eve, as to the tree in the midst, thou shalt not eat, lest you die. You read that in verse 17 of the other chapter. He said, as to the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. If you eat, thou shalt surely die. So she omitted two things. She omitted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So now he got into her head. Did you see that? She said the tree in the midst. So in her first statement, God told us to eat of all of the trees. But the one in the middle, he said, don't you. So she kind of blocked what? A very serious portion of truth. And that's what happens. That is the beginning of our fears. The first victim in all decisions is truth. And it is we who invite that. Even our desires to meet our needs. It is the issue of truth. Are we seeking after truth? Eve fell into his traps willingly. And she herself did not speak the whole truth. So now we are engaging into satisfying the desire of the flesh. And satisfy our own curiosity. Curiosity is embedded in pride. Did you know that? I know it is not the right thing, but I'm just curious. When we get curious, we end up treading on the devil's ground. And Eve did not answer, and she began to go along with the serpent. And now she wanted to examine more facts to see if she can really satisfy the desire of her heart in a wrong way. Am I missing something? Eve is really asking. God did tell us that. But I am also willing to forsake truth to see if there is something in for me. And that happens a lot in relationships. And many Christians who knew better fall into those cracks. Why? Because they know what is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. And rather than addressing those issues with Jesus truthfully, they do exactly what Eve and Adam did. And listen to what they did. It is consistent. So she played the game with the devil. And what happened next? Immediately the devil knew that and he capitalized on her weakness. Ah! She wants to hear something. She omitted also the word of the knowledge of good and evil. So she does want to know something. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That's not what she said. He went opposite of what God have said. Now, he eliminated the fear of God. Did you hear that? The fear of God was, ye shall surely die. The devil came with the opposite cliche. It's not what she said. Now he is telling her, I will help you deal. Let you satisfy your desire. Ye shall not surely die. So he went into the affirmative to win the battle quickly. For God, here it is, and he gave her more assurance. For God doth know that in the day ye shall eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now he was truthful in that halfway. But he knew something she didn't. Of course, if she eats from the tree, she will know good and evil. At that time, she knew only what?
Good.
Only that which is good. And she experienced what? Only that which is good. With all the blessing thereof. But she was curious about what evil is. And the devil told her something true. In a way that you will become like God, you will know good and evil. But she will never be like God. Neither can we ever be like God because we don't have the power.
No.
To face the suffering and the fear of evil. And that is what was hidden from her. She lacked understanding. She lacked knowledge about evil. But she began to be tempted by it. So he told her, here it is. Would you like it? And when the woman, after he said what he said, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. He is holding something back from you. Deception. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Eric, read this verse again at home, all of us, who are trying to see the connection between desire, need, fear and evil. All in that verse. She looked. Now remember, the mind has been wired already. The devil already went with his persuasion in the mind. All what she needed now is the temptation. And she looked. And she lusted after the tree and thought it looks pretty good to be desired. And immediately, the heart began to desire what the mind has been concocting. And of course, when the heart and the mind becomes in agreement, action is taken, and she went and ate of the fruit. How does John the Divine sin? John the Divine sinned as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. He said, these are not from the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passed away, and all the luster of, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. But how can we do the will of the Father if we are struggling sinners? Let's continue the story to see the inception of fear and why fear became torment. So we continue the story here. She was deceived willingly, and she took and she gave it to her husband, and he did eat, no question. And the eyes of them both were open. The devil was right. And they knew that they were naked. Now that is something new. You know, in heaven, in the Garden of Eden, there were no clothing, as we know it. There were no shame. They were covered by the glory of God. And that is how we're going to be in heaven. Something beyond our human conception, comprehension, or understanding. You know, the trees of the field are covered with his glory, even though to us they are naked. But we don't see any shame or anything upon them. And so are the flowers. They are beautiful and elegant and yet naked, because the glory of the Lord is upon them. And the same to the stars and the moon and the sun. They are all naked, and yet they are glorious because the glory of God is upon them. And all of the fish and the animals of the sea, beautifully and marvelously and miraculously make, and they are all naked. Yet they are glorious because the glory of the Lord is upon them. But let a man walk naked. And we will see what caused our shame and guilt and fear. So suddenly, they felt naked, and that is where the inception of shame and fear came. Why? Change. Change suddenly happened. They did not understand evil, now they do. They did not feel evil, now they do. And now they see very much. What did evil do? Expose them to nakedness and shame, and make them feel now they are unprotected. Did you hear that? Unsafe. Insecure. So here it is. The first thing that happened is they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So right away they recognized the immediate consequences of knowing evil. And yet they immediately recognized that they have to cover themselves before each other and before the Lord, God Almighty. So let us continue to see what happened next. And they heard, here it is, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou, Adam? Uh-oh. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was what? Afraid. Because I was naked and hid myself. There is very serious implications here. Another major errors that Adam did. Adam felt naked and became afraid, because he and his wife disobeyed the counsel of life. When God asked Adam, listen to this, where are you? Adam said, I am in hiding because I heard you coming down. The cause of my hiding, that I heard you coming down, I was afraid and I hid myself. So Adam is saying this, my fear is because of the consequences of what I have done, not because of what I have done. And all of our fears are impeded in our knowledge of the consequences of sin rather than addressing the root cause of our fear. Adam had a great opportunity to say, Lord, I am naked, I am ashamed, I am afraid, because my wife and I transgressed your loving words of life, and we don't know what to do about it. Please have mercy upon us. They didn't do that. And that is the reason why fear became a torment. Not once did Adam and Eve acknowledge that they sinned. And we're going to continue to see that. Not once.
I thought it was interesting when you were reading this last week where Adam came up and wanted to blame God.
That is next. That's coming next. And that is what happened to us. When we become fearful, we don't want to deal with our decisions or the decisions of others that brought about the fear and the suffering. We want to deal with the symptoms, and therefore we try to find another answer to calm the symptoms, which is also embedded in fear. It brings more problems and more fears later on. That is why fear becomes a torment. It's a very vicious cycle. But Jesus came to show us it doesn't have to be this way. And I'm going to get into that in a second. But this is the defense mechanisms that Adam and Eve used in the garden. And it passed down to all generations. So first, he would not say, I am hiding, I'm naked, I'm afraid, I am so fearful because I have done wrong and now I see what evil is doing. He didn't say that. He said, I saw you coming. I was naked, became afraid, and I went into hiding. Listen to what the Lord said. He's trying now to help him. So in verse 10 again, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said unto him, who told thee that thou wast naked? Look, Jesus is trying to correct Adam to address the truth. Quickly address the truth. I have a different answer. I have a different outcome. Try to address the truth. He said, how did you know that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? So Jesus is giving him the answer. Like the Holy Spirit that convict us every day of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. How do we take it and how do we respond to it? Here, God himself is putting it into the mouth of Adam. Do you think he will take it?
No.
For the second time, God gives Adam the opportunity to acknowledge the root cause of his fear, of his nakedness, of his worries. And what did he answer him this time? Listen to this. Again, Adam answered, and the man said, the woman whom thou givest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Is that truth or is it a lie? It is half-truth. Therefore, it is a lie. The devil used what? Half-truth. It was a lie. Eve used half-truth. It was a lie. Adam is using half-truth. It is a lie. Did really Eve open his mouth and shove down the fruit? She offered him. She offered him. She didn't give it to him.
Yeah.
He took it.
Right. That's what they're saying. That
did you see that? Him. She offered him. He had hands. He had his own mouth and teeth. His own stomach. Uh-huh. His own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He took and he ate. But now he's saying what to the Lord? It is because of the woman that you gave me. And how many Christians today are suffering by blaming their fears and the circumstances of their life on somebody else.
That's true.
Mom and dad, my wife, my husband, my cousin, my employer, right? The politicians, my neighbors, everyone.
But me.
God
blame on somebody.
Who is the one who is experiencing the fear? Me.
Me.
Who is the one who is experiencing the worries and the guilt? Me. So I can go ahead and tell the Lord about everybody else who is the cause. No, they are not the cause. They are the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
The cause is inside me. Okay? So did God give Adam a second chance Yes. To say, I have sinned. And what did he say?
Why?
It's not me. I blame you for giving me an imperfect woman. No. Eve is responsible for her own choices and decisions. And when it comes to issues of salvation, we learn from this story. My wife made a decision that disagrees with my relationship with Jesus. I have the ultimate responsibility to protect my relationship with Jesus. There is nothing called collective salvation. If mom and dad or anybody try to separate me from the love of God, as we read in Romans chapter 8, it's my choice. But why do we choose to remain connected? Because of our self-centered dependency upon others and upon things. So we end up sinning along. Right?
Right.
Because I'm afraid if I did not sin along and go along, I'm going to be losing on this and this and this and that.
We do it with friends a lot.
See? So here, God has given Adam a second chance to recognize the roots of his own nakedness, shame, and fear. And again he said, it is not I. It is the woman that you give me. And then the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She also set the blame on the thing.
On the snake, yeah.
And don't we do that? You give me this body. You give me those eyes. You give me those desires. You give me all of the things. And now you want to hold me accountable for my errors. And how many people became atheists because of that kind of thinking?
Mm-hmm.
That God is tormenting us by giving us all of this and telling us not to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you notice? Neither Adam nor Eve till the end of the conversation acknowledged their sins.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that? That is why fear became torment. I believe with all my heart. As I read the story and I've seen how God dealt with his people throughout the Bible and how is he dealing with his church today. If Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden confessed their sins, repented, and pleaded for God to save them, we would have heard the story of redemption written in a different way. And fear would not have become such a torment. And I believe that things would have been diminished completely for eternal life. But you know, this is the problem that exists in our life today and among all Christians today. We read after that how God's consequences was pronounced on the serpent and on Adam and Eve. I want to ask you the question, was that a punishment? He told the serpent, once you were the most beautiful of all, now I'm going to clip your wings.
Wow.
You're not going to have wings to fly.
Wow.
You're going to be right on the ground and you're going to be eating the dust.
Wow.
And I'm going to put an enmity between you and the woman. She will step on you and you can bite her heel. And then to the woman, he said, you know, you really wanted to experience evil? I never wanted you to experience evil. I don't want you to experience evil. I created you with your free will. Now you're going to see what you have chosen because I honor your choice. You haven't even said, I am sorry, save me. So I don't know what to do. Because right now, to let you live in the Garden of Eden, there's only one tree left that you didn't eat from. And that is the tree of life. You will live in eternal torment until you're finished, if I didn't cast you out. And now you have to experience the torment of your own choice until you hear me and obey my voice to redeem you again. So the woman, I was going to give you more families in the Garden of Eden, but you wanted it the wrong way. Your desire will be for your husband. You will conceive and you will have great pain.
Mm-hmm.
in delivery.
Mm.
I don't want you to miss the love of God in all of this. I am right now repeating what happened, but I don't want you to miss the love of God in all of this, because I don't believe that was punishment. That was actually God's love prevailing in giving us the choices that we need to make and letting us live with them until we still call upon His love to redeem us. And to Adam, I have given you all of this garden. I have watered it for you every day. Everything was perfectly alive and forever. You can eat from all of the fruits and the herb of the field. You can just govern all the animals. Enjoy the life. There is no labor, but the labor of eternity in joy. Wouldn't you love that? Eat, and you never have to go to the bathroom.
Wow.
Just the right food to give you the energy to survive daily. Play with all of the animals. What a fun that is. You know, to hold the legs of an eagle and the eagle goes with his wings and make you fly through over. To ride on a lion. And the lion swiftly fly through all creation. And to play and roll with the animals. And to hold the little ewe and everything. What a wonderful life God has prepared for the righteous. And he said, Adam, for a moment, you've forsaken all of this goodness and you wanted to know evil. Now here it is. You're going to live on this earth. And unfortunately, you're going to have to plant and sweat in order to eat. And as you plant and as you sweat, unfortunately, there will be thorns and thistles in the way that you still have to pluck out. And you have to take care of your own needs and your family's needs. And after the Lord cast him out of Eden, the Bible said that he put a cherubim at the gate of Eden with a flaming sword to protect the tree of life. I see the love of God strong and true and deep in that. What can we learn from that? What is the source of all fear? What's your answer? What is the source of all fear?
Fear of the devil.
Well, she is. Only if we believe him. The source of all fear is our sin. Our bad decisions and the bad decisions of our families, the bad decisions of our leaders, the bad decisions of our neighbors. This is the source of all fear. And bad decisions means unrighteous decisions. Unrighteous decision means sin. And therefore, now Adam and Eve have been cast out, and they had two children, and God intervened to commune with them. And he began to show them his plan to redeem them and to save them and to restore them back to the Garden of Eden. And he told Cain and Abel. Cain was a great farmer. Abel was a shepherd. He told them both to get a lamb without blemish and to sacrifice it. He wanted to show them the consequences of sin. Up till now, they've only seen the suffering of sin, but they didn't see the consequences of sin. So sin brings about torment and fear and suffering that we have to labor so hard to exist and live on this earth. But the Lord wanted to show them the great pain of death, because neither one in the family, in the royal family, knew death. So I wonder how hard was it for Abel to get one of his own little ewes and lambs, perfect without blemish, and then have to kill it. Cain thought, much easier for me. I am not going to, again, disobedience, you see that? Yeah. I am not going to bring a lamb because I have to ask my brother for one.
Wow.
I don't want to be a shepherd. I'm a farmer. Look at the beautiful things that I'm planting. And he decided to offer fruits.
Right.
And we know the story that God sent fire to accept the offering of Abel. And rejected the offering of Cain, the older son. And right there, the devil came again.
Yeah.
And stirred what?
Anger.
hatred and anger and resentment from Cain toward his brother.
That's the first time of murder.
And the Lord again came to Cain as he came to Adam and Eve. And he said, Cain, what is the problem?
I'm not my brother's keeper.
Cain answered like his father. He said, you asked for an offering. I brought you an offering, but you didn't accept it, but you accepted my brother. Was that half a lie? It was another half a lie. Where did he learn that from?
His mom and his dad.
Did you see the problem? Where do we learn all of our lies from? From our families and from the communities we were raised in. Okay? So the Lord said to him, no, Cain, no, no, no. I asked you to offer a lamb. Why don't you get a lamb and I will still accept your offering? What a loving God. I'm willing to make it right if you are willing to learn and obey. Even though he sinned, even though his offering was rejected, even though he went in dismay, he was given the chance again. Come, present an offering, I will accept it. What did Cain do? He became more angry. His pride was hurt now. How come you didn't accept my way of offering?
Yes.
It's a problem, isn't it? Problem in all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil came and said, now you are my friend. We are both angry with God. Let us get to him. Why don't you kill your brother?
Wow.
And the first murder was committed on earth. That's called family dysfunction. So where did the family dysfunction and the fears came from? Sin. Absolutely. Sin. Was God so loving and merciful to give Adam and Eve the power of choice?
Yes, he was.
Did he keep his promise?
Yes, he did.
Did they make a good choice?
No, they didn't.
Did they repent of it?
No, they didn't.
After they were cast out, finally, at least three of them dead. Three of them dead. Now, what is the hermeneutics or the interpretation of this to our lives today? My friends, every time you face fear, it's perfectly okay to think about your relationship with Jesus and the relationship of everyone else with Christ. Okay? At that time, fear is very healthy. That is the fear of God. Perfectly okay. To see if you made the decision in disagreement with God's living word. Okay? Before you get angry with anybody else, like Cain. Before you transfer your guilt and your suffering to anybody else, be wise unto salvation. You know, John said that, beloved John, if we say we have no sin, we are what? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What was the first victim in the Garden of Eden? Truth. It's true. Truth was the victim. From the serpent to Eve to Adam to Cain. The only one in this family that really preserved the truth was Abel. And Adam and Eve later. So, when fear arises, even fear of animals, it's okay to fear. It's healthy because fear is a gift to make us recognize the endangerment and the vulnerabilities and the uncertainties of life within us and around us. And I think that's a blessing. If we don't have fear, we'll end up being swallowed very early. We'll be destroyed very early. Fear is a healthy emotion when also always referred to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you react to your fear on your own, you will end up creating more troubles that will create greater endangerment and therefore greater fears. And that happens in relationships. It happens in the workplace. It happens in financial decisions. It happens everywhere on earth. So, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But here's the other part. But if we confess our sins that brought us to where we are, He is faithful and just. You see, faithful means deeply loving. Just means understand our ailing, failing, sinful nature. That's why He alone is our Savior, for He has taken all of our natures, all of our temptations, all of our sins upon Him, suffered the great humiliation, suffered the nakedness and shame. Remember that. They stripped Him, and they beaten Him, and they bruised Him. He has gone through every consequences of our sin, even unto death, as the Lamb of God without blemish. To become alone our one and only Savior. That if we confess ourselves, we are justified by faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His love, perfect and true. And He said, He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from what?
Unrighteousness.
Not some unrighteousness. All unrighteousness in which we don't know how. The major problem with us today is the same problem that happened in the Garden of Eden. We do not want to acknowledge that it is my decisions that brought me this misery. And as long as we don't, guess what? It's going to get worse. So if you want to deal with fear right away, regardless of what sins we have committed, look at Mary Magdalene, the woman who had 7 demons. No hope. What happened? Jesus forgave all of her sins and cleansed her from all unrighteousness. You and I cannot fix our problems. But if we don't pray daily and trust our ailing, failing nature, and if we don't trust our fears to Jesus every day, morning, noon, and night have I prayed unto you, and you delivered me out of all of my fears, said David. David said in Psalm 34, I have cried unto the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me out of all of my fears. The angel of the Lord encompassed round about them that fear Him and delivers them. If we don't call upon the name of the Lord, like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, what should we expect? More suffering, more troubles that cause us to fear. But if we come to the Lord daily, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. Now I want to move quickly to Romans chapter 5, for how it works. And what is the promise of the Bible from Adam until Jesus until now? What is the promise? We are still mortal, carnal flesh. We have inherited the propensity to sin from our parents, Adam and Eve. And we go through it every day. Therefore, we have needs every day. And as long as we have needs for survival every day, we will have fears every day. Because we will feel endangered every day. But in all of our weaknesses, we have strength. In Romans chapter 5, verse... You know, you can read the whole chapter because it's talking about... Let me read it. Just I have 10 minutes for the sermon and I don't want to bypass some powerful word. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Lord Jesus do when the disciples panicked? Fearing that they will drown and die.
Peace be still.
He said, peace be still. When we have storms and fears in our life, whether because we created it, or whether because our family created it, or whether because our leaders created it, we can have peace with God. If we go to Him by faith and trust all of our own sins, bad decisions of the past, of the present to come, unto Him, He will give us His peace. Because He will begin now to fight our own battle. Okay? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith unto His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of the Lord. All the answers are there. Faith gives us access unto His plenteous grace. Paul said, as sin abound, grace abound even the more if we call for it and if we desire it. The Lord will give it to us and it will give us what? Hope. Actually, hope and hopelessness are the two forces that determines our everyday living. Hopelessness is embedded in fear. Hope is rooted in faith. And if you want to handle your own needs on your own way, with your own mind, as mom and dad and uncle and aunt and everyone tells you how to do it, you are choosing your own life. So even as a Christian, you cannot blame God for a choice you make. Adam and Eve cannot blame God for choices they make. And it took them quite a while to recognize, I could have said the truth. And that's why the suffering prolonged. And that's why the suffering on earth and in families prolonged. And many Christians are living exactly the same way. I will satisfy my need through somebody else. And if it goes wrong, I will blame that somebody else. Did you see that?
Yes.
It's a problem, isn't it? I will satisfy my need through TV, through internet, through it, whatever it may be.
People call it human nature.
Human nature is embedded in sin. So call it our sinful nature.
Right.
And if it's our sinful nature, then we have to look for a Savior.
That's true.
Who can change that nature. He that is in Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, God makes all things new. So every day we struggle with sin. Therefore, we struggle with fear. Therefore, we have a choice. For the hope through justification of the love of Jesus by his plenteous grace, or we can continue in sin. Grace will not abound. Did you hear that? So we continue. And it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Wow. Now we're not afraid even of trouble. Because now we know what troubles happen. Even the troubles due to my sin. That's why I say, if Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden acknowledged their sin, we could have seen a different written story about the plan of redemption. Because Paul now is saying, he was once a murderer, a blasphemer, everything else. And even today, as a converted apostle, he called himself the chief of sinners. He also said, I know that the law of God is good, holy, and perfect. To will is present with me, but to do I find not. So he struggles between living the righteous, holy law of God and living as a human being. But he also said, praise be to God who gave us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore he said, I glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I wait on the Lord to fix my problems. Did you see that? I no longer trust in myself or in anybody else to help me heal from the virus of sin. I only trust the physician and the healer. Okay, so I am not dependent on somebody else to make me feel loved or good about myself, because I know I'm a sinner. And then patience worketh experience, and experience hope. Did you see the end of hope here? So when we sin and we make bad choices and decisions and we see the consequences and the suffering, we come to Jesus and we trust all of these troubles to him. I do that every day. And then you learn from this bad experience. Okay, I've tried it once, twice, three times. It's not working. It's hurting me. It's hurting others. I come to Jesus, you know, it's not perfect yet, but I see how he's helping me every day. And the more you see the experience, the more you trust, the more you pray, the more you ask Jesus to take control. And then the more peace you experience and the more little miracles that come on the way, it brings hope. Now, even though I am a struggling sinner, my hope is in you, Lord. My life is in you, Lord. My yesterday, my today, and my tomorrow is in you, Lord. Therefore, if God be for us, who can stand against us? That's where hope comes from. Constant daily surrender to God. So we are not immune from error and sin, but we are afforded a brand new experience as we wait and trust the Lord Jesus daily over our lives. Now, Sandra said it's human nature. This means we're pretty weak. So verse 6 answer that. For when we were yet without strength, in due season, Christ died for the ungodly. That's the answer. We cannot do it. Jesus can and will do it for us every day as we call upon his name. And then we go down here. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Who is that man?
Jesus.
No.
No. The devil.
As by one man, sin
Adam.
Entered into the world. Adam. Very good. So, because of Adam, sin is on earth, right? And death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Settle the score, right? But that's not the end of the story. And then it says here, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. That is verse 15. So sin came by Adam and death and suffering by his sin. But by one man, Jesus Christ, came what?
Salvation.
Salvation and life, if we choose it. And then, verse 16, and not as it was by one man that sin, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. We will sin and struggle with sin, but we are justified only through the blood of Jesus. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. It's a promise. It's what? A promise. But we have to claim it. Therefore, as by the offenses of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So listen to the next now. Paul is addressing it darkly. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one Jesus unto death shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Because by the law, the Ten Commandments is the knowledge of sin. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. To his name be the glory. So really, the storms of our lives and the fear that torments our life is because of our sins and the sins of our families and the sins of our leaders and our communities. But we don't have to be tormented by those fears, even though they exist and will exist. We have the choice to confess and acknowledge our sins and the sins of our families. Even Daniel did that. Daniel was a righteous prophet, and yet he prayed and acknowledged his sin and the sins of his forefathers that brought Israel to captivity and created all the torment and fear. So you deal with your own sin every time you are convicted. Did you hear that? Deal with your own sin and the sins of your family. Every time you are convicted, surrender it. Because as sin abound, the grace of God even abound more. And his righteousness is imparted unto us as a gift of God that give us a blessed, fearless life on earth and that lead us all to eternal life. To God be the glory for his perfect, saving, redeeming, transforming, emboldening love. May we accept it and may we choose to live the power thereof every day of our lives And you know, others will see, while they are tormented by fear, going the same circumstances that you are going through, and you are living a fearless life, they will ask of the hope, and you will become an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation of others from their sins and their tormenting fear that they also are experiencing. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand together. Our Lord Jesus, we give you our ailing, failing, sinful, struggling nature. We all have needs and wants and desires. We give you these as well. Lord, we give you all of our fears of yesterday, of today, of tomorrow, about the events in our lives, in our families, in the church, and surely the events in this country, in Egypt, and throughout all nations. Your word is becoming true, that there is distress of nations, and the love of many is waxing cold, and violence is on the increase, and iniquity is abounding as signs of the time. Thank you for the peace through the knowledge you've given us. Now I pray that you take over our heart and mind and body and soul, love, will, life and purpose, and all of our bad decision, past, present and to come. And may you save us from the inside out, save our family, save your church, save your people in every country who call upon your holy name according to your promise. And may you calm the fears of our lives and grant us your peace, knowing that you are God of all the universe and God of all nations. And all weapons that shall be aimed against us shall not prosper, because you are our God and our defender against sin, Satan, self, and the world of destruction. May you secure our salvation and life eternal. And as you bless us through faith and trust in your name and in your word, and as your promises become true, may you impress upon us to bring the same blessings of life abundantly and life eternal to as many people as we can on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.